Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, we'll read verses 32 through 56. Luke 23, verses 32 through 56. These are God's words. Two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, that's Christ, and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." Soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action, a man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath day, their Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. And that is the word of God. Christ was led here to Golgotha, to the place here called the Skull, where crucifixions took place. And two guilty criminals were crucified there with him. And the soldiers divided up his garments, it said. And that, we know, is in fulfillment of the prophecies from the Old Testament. And people there began mocking him. Even one of the criminals who was being crucified alongside of him was mocking him. And yet the other criminal rebuked him, as we read in verse 40, which says, which he said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Here was a criminal, someone who is guilty of the crime they committed, pleading the Lord would receive him, remember him. And Jesus promises, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Why? Because the criminal believed the promises in Christ, the Savior and Lord. In the middle then of the day, around noon, which it says the sixth hour, which is around the middle of the day, noon, when the sun is highest in the sky, As Christ was about to die, darkness fell upon the whole land for 3 hours until the middle of the afternoon. The veil, it says, of the temple, which we'll study this evening. Again, the veil of the temple was torn in two, showing the end of the ceremonial law, which we'll read about this evening. And a way now, because the veil torn in two, the ceremonial law done away with, now a way into the presence of God through this sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And so Jesus died. And the Roman centurion, right there, knew again that he was innocent, just like the criminal who was on the cross. And if you go back, even Pilate knew he was innocent. But he began praising God and proclaiming that Christ was innocent and yet died for our sins. And then Joseph of Arimathea saw to the burial of Christ, and the women also, which are important here, saw that he was buried in a tomb. Because some people suggest, at least today, unproven by history, but some people today believe that he was never buried. That's why people saw him after his supposed death. But here it says some women also saw. It wasn't just one man. It was these women, too, who saw him buried in the tomb. And beloved, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know, died for our sins. He was innocent. We are guilty. But he took that guilt and punishment upon himself, upon when he was on the cross. He took the wrath of God upon him. That in him we would have life forever. And so we ought to believe. And we ought to come to him, to the cross, as it says, and bow the knee to him in all things. Let's pray. Our Father, you have given all for us in your Son, delivering him over for us all, so that in him we might receive all things like justification and glorification. And so, Father, we're thankful for the death of Jesus Christ, that he was buried, and knowing that he would, in a few days, 3 days, be raised from the dead, in which he has been raised from the dead already, now, seated, having ascended, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, in which he will come to judge the living and the dead. And we confess that we don't know when he will come to judge the living and the dead. But we know that he sits on the throne, and that he is our God and our Savior, the one who is our mediator, who is our prophet, priest, and king. And Father, you reveal yourself to us. You continue to do so through your Son. And even this evening, as we study the last passage in Exodus, of that tabernacle, the tent of meeting, which pointed forward to the temple, all which pointed to Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, and that sacrifice needed that we might come into your very presence, like as we do right now before Mount Zion with the great assembly, the saints made perfect, and the myriads of angels and all your holy ones. And this, Father, we're thankful for your grace and mercy. Father, you have been gracious to us. And we pray for the church throughout the world, and perhaps we might even pray, especially this evening, for the persecuted church. The blood spilled by your enemies throughout the world, who have killed innocent people, innocent in union with Christ, that is, your children. And we know what Revelation speaks of concerning that, and we are hopeful in the victory that we have in Christ as the church. How we pray again for another church which has come under today some sinful murderer. And we pray for their families, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Father, we ask that you would give us grieving hearts for them, that we would be in prayer this week for them, as well as the other churches recently that have come under some attack like this. Father, we pray also for the attacker's family and friends, that you would show them the love that is going to come forth from this remaining body of this congregation. That they would see that, and they would know and come to know the love that is in Christ Jesus. And Father, there is in our country, at least, and maybe throughout the world, but in our country at least, now again, another attack has happened, and so they are talking about this great enemy of an inanimate object of a firearm. And yet we know the problem is not guns, it's sinners. And sinners need the gospel. And so, Father, we pray that you would save souls, even through these means of attacks upon your church and persecutions that happen. Now, Father, it seems these attacks are growing more and more. And Father, we ask that you would give us comfort in you and a love for your promises and your faithfulness, and know with encouragement and joy that we ought not to fear this life or the enemies of this world. But Father, may we love you and trust that you are protecting us as our fortress. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.